SoftBank closes its deal to buy a sizable stake in Uber, and will Cape Town be the first major city in the world to run out of water?
It's scary because you don't know if there's going to be enough water coming out of your tap.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Marie Keyworth, in for Anu Anand. Good morning. A consortium led by Japan's SoftBank has reached an agreement to buy more than 17% of Uber. The $9 billion deal came about after investors in the ride-hailing app agreed to sell their shares at a discounted price. The BBC's Mariko Moy has more.
We've had Uber in the news headlines for all sorts of wrong reasons this year in 2017, from sexual harassment allegations to work culture issues, stolen data, license being pulled in London, all of that. And SoftBank, the Japanese company, has been quite keen to invest in Uber for quite some time. But because of all these negative headlines, it managed to get a huge discount. Reportedly, SoftBank will be acquiring about 15% of Uber's stock at a discount of 30% from its most recent value. So all in all, I think Uber needed this kind of investment as it wants to list its shares, at least in 2019. At the same time, SoftBank, which has been quite keen to invest in Uber, has received a huge discount. So I guess a win-win for both of them.
What is SoftBank's interest in Uber?
I guess Uber has been one of the most successful startup companies until very recently, when we had a slew of scandals from Uber, but has been very popular here in Asia. Of course, there have been some issues competing with taxi companies and so on. But after the founder, Travis Kalanick, was practically ousted, the new management came in. It's really made a huge change in its business strategy. It's now been partnering up with some of the local taxi companies here in Singapore as well as in Thailand. And from SoftBank's point of view, it has been quite keen to invest in overseas. Uber was another company that it's been quite keen to invest in.
Mariko Oi in Singapore. Let's do the numbers. Japan's overall stock market barely budged today, closing down 19 points or 0.08%. In Europe, markets are mixed. Germany's DAX is down 41 points or 0.3%, while London's FTSE is up a quarter of a percent or 19 points. The South African city of Cape Town is suffering its worst drought in 100 years. Local experts say that by mid-March, Cape Town could be the first major city in the world to run out of water. A calendar on the city's website lists this so-called day zero as April 29th. While another round of water usage restrictions comes into place on Monday, the BBC's Kim Gittleson has gone to see what businesses and the city are already doing to try and keep the taps running.
Right now, Cape Town is the literal embodiment of the phrase that there is water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. The city is surrounded by the Atlantic and Indian Oceans, and it's blessed with some pretty stunning scenery. Over the past 3 years, the city has seen historically low rainfall levels. It's impossible not to feel the impact of the drought. On our flight to Cape Town, attendants made several announcements informing passengers that the daily water limit here is 87 liters per person. To put that in context, each flush of the toilet uses something like 8 to 10 liters. And then there's obviously the matter of drinking water. I've been standing here in the queue at Newland Spring, which is one of the oldest freshwater sources in the city. In 2011, it was open to the public, and in the past few months, people have been queuing for hours. I'm told something like 40 to 50 people per day. I've been asking them what the drought has done to their lives.
Doing the laundry, doing your dishes, it's scary because you don't know if there's going to be enough water coming out of your tap.
Sometimes when somebody's washing a bucket, we keep that water so that we can flush with that water.
To find out just how historic this drought is, I visited Professor Bruce Hewitson at Cape Town University.
In our observational history, this is close to being an unprecedented event.
Professor Hewitson says that the crisis has been exacerbated by prior years where rainfall was also low. He says it's part of a larger trend of drying here and that it will only get worse.
Cities are built in deserts. Cities are built in dry places. Look at Phoenix, Arizona, for example. So the challenge is management of water consumption, changing the culture and the philosophy around how you use water in the city. The population's got to get on board, but also changing the infrastructure. The challenge for us is that we're a developing nation, and so resources to meet that increased cost of changing the infrastructure is a challenge.
to raise money to build things like desalination plants, which could help improve freshwater access, the city of Cape Town has proposed a controversial tax on water consumption. Private businesses have also got on board.
Right now we're standing in front of our two-minute shower songs shower booth.
Mariska Uthausen is the head of brand for Sanlam, a financial services agency. The group decided to focus on helping Cape Townians and tourists conserve water by focusing on the amount of water they use in their showers.
One of the ways to reach that 87 liters is to have only a two-minute shower, because you use 10 liters of water for every minute that you shower.
Rouge is a rapper from Johannesburg who was tasked with cutting down her songs. She says it wasn't easy.
If I can do something like this that I've never done before and is completely out of my comfort zone, but it's for the right reasons, then you guys can definitely shower for 2 minutes.
Can I have a little taste of what your song sounds like at the right speed?
Okay. I just got a text with a hella bell. Somebody pull me in.
While singing in the shower might sound a little corny, the hope is that efforts like these could help Cape Townians conserve water. Otherwise, the mayor of Cape Town has warned that day zero could come sooner than many residents expect. In Cape Town, I'm the BBC's Kim Gittleson for Marketplace.
My song, a gem. Rate me.
And finally, a breakfast breakthrough for you. A new type of bacon, which is free from chemicals that can cause cancer, will go on sale in UK supermarkets in the next few weeks. Its Northern Ireland-based manufacturer says it's produced the cured meat without adding nitrates. So soon you could be enjoying a guilt-free BLT. In London, I'm Marie Keyworth, in for Anu Anand, with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.